Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Text line 913-576-7610. So, gentlemen, I went to play golf in Columbia, Missouri, and for some reason the course only had 14 holes because I couldn't find the final four. I love you guys' show. Keep doing what you're doing. Hashtag EMA. Okay, K-State fans. I'm willing to allow KU to get their Final Four jokes off. The last time K-State went to the Final Four, Lyndon B. Johnson was the president. Rob, if you want to make Final Four jokes, I get it. You went to the Final Four and color television was a thing. I'm not letting you guys get these jokes off when you went to the Final Four prior to us landing on the moon. I can't do it. I can't let that fly. I got to call a timeout. I got to call it on that, Bink. I don't want to hear your Final Four jokes if the last time you went to the Final Four was 1964. You don't count.
Doesn't matter anymore. It's about football.
Doesn't count.
You've heard the thing. People say basketball doesn't drive the bus. It's football money that brings in the money.
Okay, so Rob and I have been having this argument for quite some time, and I'd like for you to be a part of this argument. Rob and I disagree on who the locks are to make the playoffs this year in the AFC. Let's put Kansas City in a box. I would be utterly floored if Kansas City missed the playoffs this year. They have the best coach. They have the best quarterback. They have the best skill position players. They have arguably the best home field advantage in the AFC. They have a lot of advantages. I'd be really surprised if Kansas City missed the playoffs this year. The only other two teams I would put in that category are Baltimore and Buffalo. I don't know what it is about Baltimore that just makes us somewhat disregard them, but Lamar Jackson does not lose regular season games. They win 70% of the games with him as starter over the course of the regular season. Now, if you want to talk about what they do in January and beyond, that's a fair conversation. But we're talking about the regular season. I don't know how we can say that Baltimore is going to miss the playoffs. When it comes to Buffalo, I think Buffalo has one of the five best rosters in the NFL this year. If you believe in what Josh Allen did last year and that you have a top eight quarterback in the league in that division with a lot of teams in transition, Miami's a little bit in transition trying to figure out their quarterback situation. The Jets are trying to develop their quarterback, Zach Wilson, and the Patriots are clearly in a rebuild sort of restart mold. I think that's it. Do you think there's any other playoff locks in the AFC? Teams that you are 100% unequivocally, you are not wavering, that team's making the playoffs.
Colts, I'll throw them in. They're 100%, I think, going to make the playoffs. The Titans are the ones that I'm really curious if they make the playoffs. I don't have them in at this point. I know people's darling are those Tennessee Titans. I want to put the Colts as a lock, I think, to make the playoffs this year.
Rob's not buying in on the Colts. I know you are. My only pushback on the Colts would be, are we sure about Carson Wentz? Because like a lot of our belief in the Colts this year is predicated on Carson Wentz is going to go to a new situation and be transformed. The Eagles had one of the three worst quarterbacks in the league last year. So this year for them, getting rid of Carson Wentz is a positive at the position. Maybe it was one of those new change of scenery, fresh coat of paint, everybody can just kind of break away cleanly and move forward, but I can't put the Colts in that lock category because to me, they're in the same group of about 12 teams. You probably like their roster. You just have a major question about their quarterback. I think the Colts have to be in that category. I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts miss the playoffs. I think they are going to make it. Yeah. I'd be surprised if they miss. I would not be surprised, though.
Do you know what NFL team had the second most explosive plays last year in the NFL?
I'm assuming Indy.
Yes, the Colts did. And they're back healthy. Michael Pittman's back and healthy. Zach Pascal's been stepping up a wide receiver.
I actually would have guessed Tampa Bay, actually, but just in the context, I knew it was the Colts. I would have guessed Tampa, though.
Now, the Colts, keep in mind, I mean, it's health dependent a lot of times with this team. But, man, it's hard to argue with the third leading rusher in the NFL, Jonathan Taylor, who's only getting better with the Colts. It's hard to argue that's not a top three offensive line in the AFC, even though Costanzo hit the retirement. But they're getting Paris Campbell back. Again, second-round picks. He's often hurt. I get it. Michael Pittman got hurt last year. He's back healthy. Then, of course, T.Y. Hilton's there at wide receiver. Good weapons for Carson Wentz, who did thrive under Frank Reich. And the bottom line is, like, how good's the quarterback they're going to be? I mean, we kind of look at Carson Wentz like Baker Mayfield. You know, guys that are be quality playoff teams, but can they get to the big dance? That's the big question. But I'm looking at a Colts team. I know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's hard to play this game except horseshoes and hand grenades. But they were a better team than Buffalo in the playoffs, and they played them in Buffalo. They lost by 3 points. They missed a chip shot field goal, 33 yards, and they went for it on 4th-and-2 before halftime. I watched that game, and I came back saying, man, the Colts were the better team that day. It wasn't the Buffalo Bills. It was the Colts. So, yeah, and I'm looking at a team that's going to be number one under the salary cap by the end of the season. I'm just looking at Chris Ballard and what he's done there with the Colts, and yeah, I'm a lot higher on him, a lot of people, because their defense is certainly better than people give him credit for.
Text line 913-576-7610. Hey, C-Dot, the Colts made it to the playoffs last year with Phillip Rivers. Carson Wentz can't be worse. Carson Wentz was drastically worse than Phillip Rivers was last year. Last year, Phillip Rivers completed 68% of his passes. Carson Wentz completed 57% of his passes. Phillip Rivers threw 24 touchdown passes last year. Carson Wentz threw 16 touchdown passes last year. Carson Wentz in 12 games led the NFL in interceptions with 15 and was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL last year at 50. He was bad. So, yes, the Colts can be worse at quarterback than Phillip Rivers was. I'm not saying Rivers was an elite QB last year, but let's not kid ourselves. Phillip Rivers was serviceable last year.
He was serviceable because of the weapons, because of the explosive plays, because of the offensive line, and because of Jonathan Taylor, running back. He's coaching 4A high school in Alabama right now at high school level for a reason. Like, to expect Carson Wentz to have the same production, yes. The talent was better in Indy last year for Phillip Rivers. The line was better in Indy for Phillip Rivers. The defense was better.
Wentz might be broken. Running
game. I'm just saying, there's more parts around him than what he had in Philly. For this year, I think he'll replicate Phillip Rivers' numbers, if not better.
I have no problem with the Colts. I think they're not a lock, but I would have them fringe. Titans, I hate the Titans, so you guys know how I feel. There are three locks in the AFC. You guys got two of them correct, Buffalo and Kansas City. The Cleveland Browns are a lock for the playoffs. Cleveland has a good quarterback.
That's
not
never
great,
been uttered in the history.
But good
of
quarterback.
I'm with you on this.
They have a great offensive line, a good coach, good defense, and a third place schedule. The Browns
probably
are locked.
But the number one running game in the AFC with Hunt, the best running in Chubb, the best offensive line in the AFC because it's the only line in the entire NFL that could boast three, not Pro Bowlers, but all pros on that offensive line, and Jedrick Wills will be there, the rookie from Alabama last year that played his first season. He played damn well. He was rookie. He was on the all-rookie team. He'll be there. So, yes, Cleveland, and they bring in 50% of the Rams, the number one secondary in the NFL, and they draft corner in round one. The Titans, like Caleb Farley goes on the DL, and so did Bud Dupree. Now, Bud Dupree's coming off the ACL, but they were kind of thinking he will, maybe not. That was the 29th worst defense in the NFL. I know they bring in Julio Jones, but he's not playing defense for the Titans. That is still a major weakness for Tennessee, is that porous defense. The Browns, I think, are ahead of the pack here. I'd put them in a second tier with the Ravens, with the Bills. I'll throw the Browns in there with what they've done in this offseason. They won the offseason.
Have you guys ever, you know, just been sitting around with a group of your guys and you're watching TV, you're drinking beer, you're drinking whatever? You guys are having a conversation about women because that's what guys do, right? And then your boy is like, so-and-so, she's bad. And then you're like, show me a picture of her. And then you pull it up. She like, she all right? I mean, she cool. She not ugly, but you kind of gassed her up a little bit. That's how I feel every time you guys talk to me about the Browns. I'm not saying the Browns are bad. I'm not saying
well, a lot of people on the bandwagon now. We've been on the bandwagon for. Look at their free agency, Sienna. Who took the steps? They did. Like they worked on their defense. That's a top 10 defense now. When you draft corner round one, you bring in 50% of the Rams secondary. That means you want business, man. And forget about Clowney, not even mentioning that he's brought in here to be the opposite side of Myles Garrett, although he won't get as much attention. It'll be interesting to see what he can do. But they drastically improved their defense. Great offensive line, great running game. Play action quarterback is basically what Baker Mayfield is best at. He has shown flashes in the NFL.
Can you be a playoff lock without an elite quarterback or an elite coach? A lock.
Rookie of the year. Because here's the thing. You mentioned Chargers earlier. See, now here's the thing.
Rookie of the year's played 3 seasons since then.
The Chargers have a pee to drop. The Browns actually pee to drop, man. They just flushed the toilet. They won a playoff game in Pittsburgh. All right? That's taking a step. Like the Chargers, they're everybody's darling, but they don't do anything when it comes to playoffs. Why? They don't make the playoffs. The Browns actually went to the playoffs and won a playoff game.
How do we know Kevin Stefanski isn't elite?
It's a rookie coach of the year. He's a coach of the year.
He's a one-year guy, so there's not enough subject. There's not enough book.
Yeah, there's not enough evidence.
But we might look back at this year and say he was an elite coach because we now know that he continued to churn out wins.
Maybe this is my issue with Cleveland. Maybe this is my issue. Let me get up on my soapbox here real quick. We make everybody in the league prove it.
They did.
No, they did not.
They made the playoffs. They lost by 5 points to Kansas City, and Mahomes was hurt.
They took advantage of one of the worst schedules last year in the NFL, and they played one of the worst playoff teams. A team that was – Pittsburgh would have lost to every playoff
team. But it was their nemesis.
Chicago would have beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs if they had played a game last year in the playoffs. Pittsburgh was bad at the end of the season. You want to know when they had a chance to prove to me that they were good? Monday Night Football. You guys remember that game? It was Cleveland versus Baltimore. Baltimore had smoked Cleveland earlier in the year. You remember Lamar left the game. I don't know what Lamar. Maybe Lamar had bubble guts. He was cramping. I don't know what was going on. Lamar left the game, and they had, Trace McSorley in the game for, a quarter and a half. They still lost that game.
I'm looking at the 7-5 Buccaneers where Tom Brady forgot what down it was in Chicago. Then the week before they played the Chiefs, he throws a pick six at the end of the game.
Baker Mayfield has never beat a team that we thought could win a Super Bowl. He does not have a single win against a team.
I'm just saying that team is taking steps, C-Dot. You can't ignore the steps.
They've taken a great step to be relevant. They've taken a great step.
I think it's great the Chiefs get to play them in week one because I think the team's going to be something. Andy Reid, 9-1 with Mahomes. In September, or 9-1 on opening days here in Kansas City. I love the fact of playing Cleveland game one.
Who wins more games this year, Buffalo or Cleveland? Who wins more games?
I'll take Cleveland because I think the East is better. I think the Dolphins are a better team. They were a 10-win team last year. I think the Jets with Robert Saleh are certainly a better team bringing Lawson. And the Patriots are not going to lay over and play dead for the Bills like they did last year. We're talking about the Patriots before last year that had beaten the Bills 32 of 35 times. The division has gotten better.
Bye, Bink.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying bye.
I'm happy Bink came in today.
No.
Bink was a good guess.
Terrible idea.
Great booking. That's what I'm going to say.
Get Bink away from me.
I have a Cash App now, and I still don't see any burrito money.
I didn't know that you had. I'll send it to you right now.
I was sitting here when I was making it a couple weeks ago.
Okay, well, during the commercial break, tell me your Cash App, and we can resolve this. I didn't know you had Cash App.
No, I always said that because we had friction there at the end.
I don't have any friction. You
don't buy the Browns or lock.
No.
I get Rob throws some stuff out there, but I'm with him.
What do you mean Rob throws some stuff out there? Hold on. What does that mean?
Sometimes Rob throws things to see if they stick. Rob, this sticks.
You know what? Let's just keep this, dude. Go ahead and call Gabe, and we'll just keep this segment going. You guys are telling me you can't see a scenario in which the Browns are overhyped. We can't see a scenario. In which the Cleveland Browns, that maybe we come to the conclusion at the end of the season that maybe we put a little bit too much dip on our chip when it comes to the Browns. You're telling me one season.
So you give them no credit for taking 50% of the Rams secondary. You give them no credit for doing that and drafting corner in the first round with Greg Newsome.
No, because I think they have the 22nd best quarterback in the league.
It's like Denver. You know, you go out and get Darby, Fuller. They drafted Surtain. I mean, they're doing the things you need to be doing. They just need to worry about the quarterback situation. But, yes, When you talk about Troy Hill coming over, John Johnson from the Rams, that makes that secondary much better for the Cleveland Browns. This defense is better than last year. The line is solid, the best line in the NFL. Okay. Baker's a play-action freak.
Okay. So,
come on, Cleveland, Dot.
So you have Kansas City as your number one. Cleveland's your two.
I'd put the Bills tied with Cleveland. Bills are still there until them.
But you think Cleveland's going to win more games, so you have them as two.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Cleveland's two. Buffalo's three.
Ravens.
Indy? Oh, you have Ravens four.
Ravens, Indy.
You like Indy more than you like Baltimore. You do. It's okay to admit it. You like Indy more than you like Baltimore.
I mean, I do like them, but I do like them.
This Colts team.
The Ravens.
You know what it is? You love
the Ravens trading Brown to the Chiefs. That was dumb. That is still one of the dumbest things we've seen in the NFL.
You love any team with a capable O-line. That's like Belichick calling
Fisher. Hey, can I have Eric Fisher? We need a left tackle. Sure, Bill. We'll send him to you. No.
You don't got to do much to improve. All you need to do is have two good offensive linemen. You love that team.
They have three going on four.
You love them.
Yeah.
Okay, Bink. I really do have to go now. We have to have Gabe DeArmond on talk about their athletic director situation. We kept you longer than I had anticipated, but it was fun.
Appreciate it. It was fun. See that.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will hear from Dayton Moore. Dayton Moore is meeting with the media. The trade deadline is coming up in about 2 days. It is on Friday. We'll hear from Dayton Moore as he meets with the media coming up later today. So we're going to be joined momentarily by Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com to talk about the University of Missouri and their search for a new athletic director. It caught me by surprise yesterday. Typically, I get a little bit of wind of these situations. I was absolutely stunned, flabbergasted that this had happened. I wonder if our next guest was. We head to the phone line right now and be joined by the number one Missouri blogger, writer, commentator in the world, Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, how's it going?
Not bad. What's up, Carrington?
Doing good. Gabe, how surprised were you that yesterday we saw that Jim Sterk had stepped down as AD at Mizzou?
A little surprised that it happened when it happened, but I first kind of caught wind of it, I want to say about 3:30, and so I spent about an hour and a half making calls, and every call that I made pretty much was, yeah, I haven't heard that, but that wouldn't surprise me. You know, we knew this was certainly possible at some point. His contract had 2 years left on it. We never expected him to stay beyond that. But little surprised it happened when it did. I thought it might, you know, make it another few months, another year. But the way the Drinkwitz hire went, and then the fact that he interviewed at Central Florida, and all impressions I had at the time were, if they offer the job, he's going to go. That was a little bit telling that hey, maybe the clock's going to speed up on this a little bit.
Right now we're talking to Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com on Jim Sterk resigning yesterday as the athletic director at Missouri. Gabe, are we calling this a resigning or are we calling this a mutual parting of ways? Like, it seems to me, however you phrase it, both sides seem perfectly fine with this outcome.
Yeah, that seems to be the way we term these things now, right? Mutual agreement. You know, I tend to think there's never a truly mutual breakup. One person usually kind of has to bring it up. I mean, you don't just both look at each other and go, I think this is the time. Let's do it. You know, so I think saying he was pushed out is probably a little bit strong. I think, again, everybody kind of knew this was going to happen at some point. Who came up with the timetable for sure? I can't say. I don't know. But I think it makes some sense on both sides. You know, Sterk can say, hey, I got Missouri through this really tough year. We're kind of getting back to where things should be okay. You don't have to hire a football coach. You don't have to hire a basketball coach. We're bringing people back. He's 65 years old. You know, he's got kids. I think grandkids. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think so. And so, you know, it makes sense on his side. And on Missouri's side, I think the words from Munchoy were a little bit telling. Like, they need somebody. The Texas and Oklahoma stuff, this new SEC, nobody knows what college football is going to look like going forward. I think they need an athletic director that's a little bit like their football coach. You know, a little bit of aggressive, brash, goes out there and does things like a lot of people in the SEC do. And I just don't really think anybody that knows Jim would describe that as his personality.
Right now, we're talking to Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. I don't have to tell you that their basketball coach isn't the most popular person on campus. What do you think losing the person that hired him could potentially mean for Konzo Martin? I know his contract is sort of structured in a way where you're not instantly getting out of that deal, but you and I both expect some lean years for Missouri basketball heading forward. Eli Drinkwitz is certainly in a good standing. First year, recruiting at a really high level. He's got all the backing, I think, from the right people. I don't know if you can say that necessarily about Konzo Martin. Where do you think this puts their basketball team and program?
Well, I mean, I think this is an important year for Konzo, but I don't think that's based on who the athletic director is. I mean, I don't see any way that anything bad enough this year where Konzo loses his job. But if it goes a certain way, he could go into next year on the hot seat, you know, and having a different guy than the guy that hired you in charge is certainly less than ideal if that's the case. I mean, if he goes out and, you know, is on the bubble or squeaks into the NCAA tournament or something this year, hey, no problem. Everybody's going. And then whoever hires him will probably be happy. But we know ADs a lot of times like to have their own guys. So Konzo is a guy that's pretty content and pretty happy with what he's done and all that. So if it were to get to a point, like, I could see him saying, yeah, you know, I'm not going to fight here, whatever. But I think we're a couple years away from that discussion.
Last question here, Gabe, and I appreciate the time. I'm not going to ask you about all the candidates that you think are possibly there, but at least locally the relevance is, do you think there's a chance that K-State athletic director Gene Taylor would make the move and be Missouri's next athletic director?
See, I think there's some thought, right, that these ADs at these Big 12 schools that you're not sure where you're going to end up, are guys that maybe you want to talk to if you're Missouri, if you think they're the right guy. I saw Pete Thamel put out a list that had a couple of those guys on it. Shane Lyons at West Virginia certainly is there. Gene Taylor was on Thamel's list. I don't know. I mean, you know, he was at North Dakota State and obviously did a good job there. I mean, what's he been at K-State, 3 years, something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know Gene Taylor. I've never talked to him. I don't know what his personality is. So I don't know if he's that type of guy that I was talking about earlier. To me, that doesn't really seem like a fit, just based on like surface level knowledge. Now, look, if that's a guy they want to go after, would he listen? I would kind of think so. I mean, you know, based on where K-State is and what could happen in the next couple of years, I would think he'd at least listen to it. But I don't know. My initial impression is not that he fits the profile of what I think Missouri will go after.
That is Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us with the top story as Missouri's athletic director, Jim Stirk, and the administration have come to a mutual parting of ways. Missouri will look for a new athletic director. Jim Stirk will stay on board until they make a hire. Gabe, appreciate you hopping on, man. Thank you.
All right. Hey, we'll mutually end this phone call, man.
Absolutely. That's Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us on the show today to take a look at Missouri and their athletic director opening. Rob, I agree with them. I don't really think that Gene Taylor makes a lot of sense for Missouri. If you're looking for a new athletic director, and I'm not saying this isn't what Gene Taylor is, but just what I think you need to be looking for in an athletic director. If you're looking for a new AD, you need to find someone who's progressive in player empowerment. If you want to talk about what the next 5 to 10 years of college athletics is really going to look like, we are going to see a virtual breaking down of transfer rules. I think we're already starting to see it. It is only going to continue to get worse and worse and worse with transfer portals, and you can leave Kansas and then the next season play at K-State, and then the next season, if you want, play at Iowa State. Like, we are not that far away from college athletes being able to do that. And once people really start to get a hold of what name, image, and likeness is, we're going to see some of these athletes make a substantial amount of money. When you think about it, there's this high school player. Maybe some of you guys know who he is. Maybe you don't. You'll eventually know who he is. His name is Mikey Williams. He is one of the top 5 recruits in his class. He has 5 million followers on Instagram, and has his own reality show. He is a junior in high school and has already signed a name, image, and likeness deal. So he might have been a guy in the old system who might have gone to the G League, maybe would have gone overseas like RJ Hampton, now is probably going to end up going to Kansas, UCLA, one of those big-time schools. He might end up making $3 million his first year. I have 5 million Instagram followers. I'll do all the sponsored ads and posts that you want me to. I can be the face of a company at 18 years old. I've already developed my brand. When you think about it, the old system, you went to college to start your brand. That's not how it is. You now start your brand in junior high for some of these kids. You build your brand over time, and you look at college as a partnership. As big as Zion was, Zion's brand as a high school amateur athlete and the profile of Duke as the number one college basketball program were the perfect marriage. You played in Cameron. You played under Coach K. Barack Obama came to your games. LeBron came to your games. It was the perfect marriage. As we see agents, athletes, companies, students, universities get more of an understanding of how name, image, and likeness can really work for them, you're going to see some big-time deals thrown out there. If your athletic director can't help you navigate this new era of television rights and name, image, and likeness, that is not the person that can be your athletic director for the next 5 to 10 years. So I don't know if Gene Taylor is or isn't that person, but that's a conversation of your Missouri you need to be having with this opening now. It's not about what the last 25 years of college athletics looks like. What's the next 5 to 10? Expansion of the playoffs, basically removing transfer rules, and name, image, and likeness. You need to be well-versed in those three things or you are going to be left behind. Coming up on the other side, Dayton Moore is meeting with the media. We'll share with you what he had to say. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
You're listening to The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. If you missed it, We will be out at Legends Field, Monarchs Park, on Thursday. We had to reschedule our game with the guys. Mother Nature was not being very friendly, didn't want us to go to the baseball game, but I feel pretty optimistic that the weather is going to hold up for Thursday. So if you won tickets, we are going to be out there on Thursday. We would certainly love to see you and enjoy the game. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll hear from Dayton Moore coming up momentarily after his press conference is done, and we'll hear what he had to say regarding the trade deadline, potentially trading with Merrifield, all the things that have really taken as the number one story and topic with the Royals right now. They're playing really good baseball, but at least for the time being, the biggest conversation when it comes to the Royals is what are they going to do as we head towards the deadline. I want to play what Whit Merrifield had to say. He was on Cody and Gold earlier today. He was asked very simply if the trade chatter feels different this year as opposed to years past.
No, I mean, it always feels the same. It is what it is. It's going to happen or it's not, and at this point in my career, I don't really have much say as to what happens, but I'm happy here. If I end up getting moved, you know, it'll probably be to a good situation, you know, with the team that's contending. So, you know, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, obviously. So, you know, I'm sure I'd be happy with that. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. The good thing about the way it's going now is once July 31st comes and goes, that's it. You know, there's no more of those waiver deals that used to happen a couple of years ago. So, you know, we'll know for sure come, what'd you say, Friday?
Rob, do you get the same vibe that I do from hearing Whit talk about this the last 2 weeks, that he's somewhat worn down by all of this? That's how he kind of comes off to me. He comes off to me as somewhat worn down by this process and is ready for it to be over. And I think if you ask Whit in an off-the-record moment, he would communicate to you that he would really like to stay. But he seems at peace with either scenario. What he said there, if I got traded, I'd be going to a contending team, so I'd have a chance to win. You got to remember this when it comes to Whit Merrifield. He's never been on a team that we've deemed to be good. He wasn't one of those guys who were on the team in 14 and 15 the way that Duffy was or Salvi was or Wade Davis was. So they have memories of what it used to be like. Whit Merrifield is a lot like all those players we interviewed during the All-Star break. All they know is bad Royals baseball. Whit Merrifield has been here for some of the leanest years in Royals history when you really think about it. So I think he loves the city. I think he loves the organization. I think the organization has shown him great love too and has become a fan favorite and one of the more popular players we've seen in recent memory. But if you're Whit and you're over the age of 30, you've never won at a high level, and you get the opportunity or it's presented to you to go to the Padres or go to the Tampa Bay Rays or go to a team that you think has a chance to be good, I could see you being open to that possibility. Hey, I'm over 30. I've already signed my second deal. I love Kansas City. I don't want to leave, but I'm open to new possibilities and the new challenges of playing for a different team. That's the vibe that I get in all of this. That's the vibe that I get. I get that Whit would want to stay. It's his number one priority and preference to stay. But if he ended up being traded, it would put him in a position that he's never been in his entire career.
I agree. That's the sense I get. I think in a perfect world for Whit, he would prefer to be here and win. But you're right. The most success he's had on a team is, what, 2017, when they were, what, two games under 500? That's his high watermark for team success. I think he'd prefer to do it in Kansas City because Kansas City is showing him nothing but love. And that's very on brand for what Dayton has done his entire tenure in Kansas City. But with Whit Merrifield, I think the Royals are kind of stuck in no man's land because we agreed the Royals felt like this year's team would be better than they are right now. What, they're 15 games under 500? I don't think the Royals huffed and puffed all offseason to think on July 27th we'll be 15 games under. They didn't do that. So they're kind of in a spot where, okay, trading Whit makes sense. On the other side, though, they did huff and puff all offseason. They do talk about how they like the talent on their team. They do talk about how they feel like they're on the verge of winning again. And whether you, the fans, believe that or not, they at least talk like that. So they're in no man's land. Because of their record, I think trading Whit to a contender for some prospects makes absolutely the most sense in the world. But the Royals, I don't think, believe they are in a place that need to sell players for prospects. I believe they think they're 18 months away from us having a conversation about pushing for the wild card. So they're in no man's land with Witt. And when it comes to doing best by Witt, which we know is something Dayton loves to do, I think he gets stuck in that same spot. Do I help Witt go be a winner because I know he'll love Kansas City forever? Or do I keep Witt on this team because I know I can make this team go?
To what you were saying, though, and I don't disagree with you, that's what the Royals think and that's how the Royals feel. They would have told you that at the beginning of this season, that they felt like they were close. And they don't appear to be very close. So at some point, you have to be very honest with yourself, whether it's good or bad. At the end of 13, I think the Royals were very honest with themselves. We got a chance to do something special. We got to do something drastic to become special. But we got a chance to do something special. You go make the move to go get James Shields. You feel like that's a missing piece to get you over the hump. In 15, we got a chance to win the World Series. Let's go make a trade for Johnny Cueto. Hold on. We still need more than this. We're willing to push more of our chips to the middle of the table. So a lot of these conversations with Dayton, and I haven't heard what Dayton had to say yet. We'll play it coming up in a bit. But I'm going to assume it's going to be, well, we need to be blown away to trade one of these players. Who are part of their core? Who are part of their new core do we think is playing at their level of expectation? Are we counting Witt as part of that new core? I would get it if you argued it, but Witt's also 31. Witt's my age. Witt's not the same age as some of these guys, not part of the same generation. So to me, putting him in the same conversation as Nick Prado just seems a little bit foolish. He was in elementary by the time that Nick Prado was conceived. So this core, who's living up to their expectation? Is there a pitcher living up to their expectation? Is there a position player living up to the expectation? So I get it. You don't want to openly project that you're just up for business and you'll trade any and everybody. I get that. But this organization also shouldn't feel hell-bent to keep anybody because nobody has really put themselves in a category of you're untradeable. We can't entertain the possibility of moving on. Or we also can't not entertain the possibility that we were wrong in our evaluation. That's also possible. Like, I think when it comes to the Royals and Dayton, we're not willing to at least go down the rabbit hole of maybe Dayton's wrong this time. Doesn't take away from him getting it right the first time. He got it right. He got it exceptionally right. But some people only have one hit. As much as you love certain songs, they never had another hit song. They might have had the talent, it might have been the label, might have been a lot of other things that happened why they didn't have a hit. But the point is, they kept trying to find that sound, that hit, and they didn't do it. Some people only have one good movie. They only were the director for one good film. I'm not saying that's Dayton Moore, but you got to be willing to at least be open to the possibility. We were wrong on Hunter Dozier. It's time for us to move on. And the one thing I would say is Dayton's strength is his commitment to people and the kind of loyalty that I think it breeds. It also can be a weakness when you can't sit there and be honest with yourself and say, we were misguided in this contract with Hunter Dozier. It's time for him to go somewhere else. He starts fresh and we also start fresh.
I think your question about who are the players on this roster that we would deem players that are on the next core is a fascinating one. Because I think the Royals and the general Royals fan public don't see eye to eye on what that core is. I think the Royals believe, and this is totally speculative, that both Salvador Perez and Whit Merrifield are part of that next core. And the way they're both playing this year, there's reason to believe that. But fans, for better or worse in baseball, look at the age on your baseball card and mentally do the math on when will this team be good again and have kind of ruled those two players out of being in the next core. And this is what I was talking about earlier, no man's land. The Royals have to be honest with themselves. They have to look in the mirror and say, when's the next time we're going to the playoffs? Because if the answer is not 2022, then you have to have a serious conversation about players like Whit Merrifield, players like Salvador Perez, players like Hunter Dozier, because the next core is in AAA and they're going to take their lumps in the majors. That's not really playoff teams in 2022. So they need to, at this deadline or this offseason, but I prefer the deadline, look in the mirror and say, when are we a playoff team? And if their answer is 2023 or later, it might be time to, while it hurts, trade players that you love like Perez and Whit Merrifield, because then you can accelerate the clock on 2023. But if you look in the mirror and say next year's a playoff year, then you better start hitting on some of these players.
There's no
that come
reason
up.
To think they're making the playoffs next year.
I agree. But if they think that, they need to start having some successes on the field. Daniel Lynch better keep being Daniel Lynch like he was from Sunday. Brady Singer better come up and do some majors. Make a next stride. Jackson Kowar better come up and look like a real ball player. Chris Bubich can't be this swing sixth man starter reliever guy. He's got to be a real player. That has to happen in the second half if they believe they're a playoff team.
Coming up on the other side, we're expected to hear from Dayton Moore as he meets with the media. We'll play that for you. Coming up at the top of the hour, former Chiefs offensive lineman Mitchell Schwartz will join us in studio for the 4 o'clock hour. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Mitchell Schwartz, former Chiefs offensive lineman, former right tackle, all-pro, Pro Bowl right tackle. Mitchell Schwartz, he'll join us in studio coming up at the top of the hour. Very happy to catch up with him as tomorrow the Chiefs officially begin training camp. So last week, the Chiefs did rookies and quarterbacks. Today was their conditioning test. You got to pass that. And then tomorrow, if you have the opportunity to go watch them practice for the first time this season as they get ready for the NFL season. So we'll be joined by Mitchell Schwartz coming up in just a little bit. Dayton Moore was on a Zoom press conference earlier today. Here's what he said he would need to trade some of the core members of the team.
Don't expect us to do any deals moving, you know, our core group of specially positioned players and starting pitchers that, you know, we feel are part of our future. And, of course, we'll evaluate, you know, every potential deal that's out there. But I would basically categorize it as, you know, we've really got to be overwhelmed if we're going to move, you know, one of our key contributors to this team and those players that we feel are key contributors, you know, into the future.
All right, Rob, let's do this exercise together before we're joined by Mitchell Schwartz, and we'll just talk football for the entire 4 o'clock hour. Let's do this exercise. Who are the guys that he would deem to be a part of their core? Do we know who those guys are? Is Carlos Santana a part of their core? He has 1 year left in his contract. Is Nicky Lopez a player that they would deem to be a part of their core? Like, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at their roster. How many foundational pieces do we think are even on this roster? All right, you don't want to trade Salvador Perez. I completely understand. Let's say you don't want to trade Whit Merrifield for a very similar reason. All-star, great in the community, great in the locker room, one of the best players at his position, a contract that we love. We don't want to trade him. When Dayton talks about this core, what other guys do they need to be blown away by when it comes to a trade? Who are these guys? Andrew Benintendi? He's a guy that you'd have to be overwhelmed to be moved? Sure, there's a couple of guys in the rotation that you would think, but I think those guys to me are way more in theory and belief than actual production. I mean, Brad Keller, Brady Singer, Junis, and those guys, are we ready to say that those guys are part of your core? I don't think we can say that and feel optimistic about it. So text line 913-576-7610. You tell me who you think. But when I hear Dayton say we'd have to be overwhelmed to move some guys from our core, I'm thinking to myself, like who? You got to be overwhelmed to trade Hunter Dozier? You got to be overwhelmed to package in Brady Singer? You got to be overwhelmed to do those things. I don't know about that. Here's what Dayton had to say about trades and when they typically get completed.
We're still, just kind of evaluating, what we've got to do to be better in 2022. And I think anything that we would do at the deadline, regardless of what our record is, would be focused on that, how to be better in 2022. And so that is continuing, as we go forward. But it's still, very early. A lot of the things that, get done oftentimes, as we know, are at the last minute. And we're really just focused on, keeping as many of our good players together as we always talk about, not really doing much in terms of exchanging names, just trying to be very disciplined with the group that we have and just build on it.
So we'll see what happens with the Royals. The trade deadline is coming up on Friday, and they are going to be faced with some very difficult decisions. Rob, I know there's some saying, and I'm sure you'll tell me what it is, but it escapes me as I'm thinking about it. To me, the Royals have placed more of a value on their own guys than what they're really worth on the open market. Like, I always make this analogy. You can sell your tickets on StubHub for whatever you want. You can have some 432 Rozizis, and you can list them on StubHub for $1 million if you want. Like, nothing is stopping you from doing that. But the market tells you that those tickets are worth $7. The market tells you those tickets are worth. To me, Dayton, when he has these conversations, and maybe it's just GM speech, I get that. But when he says he needs to be overwhelmed, there's not a single player on your team that is worth an overwhelming offer. Not any of the known commodity guys outside of Witt and Salvi. Now, Bobby Witt Jr., you could get a great haul for him if you were willing to trade him. Nick Prado, you could probably get a great haul for him. Asa Lacy, some of your young, unproven commodities. Is Brad Keller worth an overwhelming offer? So, like, some of this to me is they've now placed an increased value on what they think their own players are worth. And it goes to what we were talking about before the break. You got to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest about the path that you're on and how quickly can you get back to the postseason. And a big reason why I was really pushing this year to win 76 or 77 games was typically in baseball, you take steps. You go from winning 65 games to 71 games to 79 games, and then you can make the playoffs. That's what the Royals did. As quote-unquote unsurprising as 2014 was, they won 86 games in 2013. They took a next step. Now, it was a more magical ride than any of us had anticipated, but you could see the Royals were building towards something special, and they eventually cashed in. It doesn't feel like the Royals are really any better. Their line, their bell curve, has not started to slope up yet. Eventually, it will happen. But you got to be realistic to yourself about when that's going to happen. And if you part with these pieces, is that going to push this thing in the right direction? Where in 2022, you win 83 games and you really start to create and build the momentum towards being a wild card team. Coming up on the other side, we will be joined in studio by former Chiefs offensive lineman Mitchell Schwartz. Mitchell Schwartz next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.